The only way to make a man trustworthy is to trust him. Henry L. Stimson, American Statesman. Prologue. Ashburn, Virginia, 16 years ago. The full moon shone on J.W. Harrison University's campus, nestled in Northern Virginia's lush countryside. Kat Wessex drove her sporty red car to Harrison's suites, passing the university and shops on the way. When she turned too sharp to enter the apartment complex, she bounced over the curb. "Son of a bitch," she cursed. She pumped the brake pedal and slowed to make her way around the traffic circle before parking in front of Building C. She glanced around to ensure no one was there to notice her arrival. Seeing that she was alone, she slipped out of the seatbelt, opened the door, and grabbed her handbag. She sprinted for the stairwell that would take her up to her apartment. In her hurry, the stairwell door clanged against the cinder block wall behind it. A loud gasp escaped her lips before she could stop it. She froze. Her dark eyes wide, she listened. The only noise she could hear was music drifting across the complex from a suite across the parking lot. She ran up the stairs to the first landing. Lights from a moving vehicle cast the landing in a golden glow. She fell back against the wall and waited. Her heart pounding against her chest, she grasped her handbag in her arms and dared to peer over the railing. A police cruiser turned off its headlights and engine in the parking lot below. Kat held her breath. Two uniformed officers climbed out of the vehicle.
"Now you did it!"
a young woman shouted from the balcony of a suite that appeared to be hosting a party.
"Someone called the police!"
Multiple students groaned in unison. Their disappointment drifted across the complex. With a sigh of relief, Kat raced up the stairs to the third floor. She burst out of the stairwell and hurried to the suite that was home to her and her roommates. She turned the key in the lock, pushed inside, and closed the door behind her. After securing the deadbolt, she collapsed against the door. She took a deep breath to ease the rapid beating of her heart. Regaining her composure, she slowly turned around and listened for any sound within the suite. The residential counselor, Bryce Grayson, was visiting her family in Southern Virginia for spring break. Aaron Gibson was undoubtedly running a marathon someplace with her fiancé, Wayne. Or was it a triathlon? Susan had taken off to a resort in the Pocono Mountains with her new boyfriend, Justin. The corners of Kat's lips smiled at the irony of Justin rebounding from her to connect with Susan.
Ain't it ironic?
Kat seemed to have the place to herself. Good thing. That would give her a chance to figure out her next move. The next item on her agenda was taking her new business venture with Lynn Diamond to the next level. She had many grand ideas, some of which her partner might disagree. No worries. Kat had become quite skilled at getting her way. Dropping her handbag onto the floor, she collapsed into the love seat, kicked off her leather loafers, and propped her feet up on the coffee table. She took a deep breath, held it for a long moment, and then let it out.
"Everything is going to be okay. What's done is done."
Bang, bang, bang. She sprang from her seat. The door knocker sounded again. Kat felt her breath quicken again. She peered through the eye hole. Uttering a sigh of relief, she said,
"Oh, it's you."
She turned the deadbolt and threw open the door.
"What are you doing here?"
4 years ago. Dr. Dermot Lynch frowned when the call to his wife went straight to voicemail. That could mean several things. Most likely, she was on the phone. Granted, it was a quarter after 10 in the evening. Even so, it was most likely a client. Bryce had many clients on the West Coast. Many students applied in January to meet the early admissions deadline. To avoid missing deadlines and making mistakes, Dermot worked late to stay on top of the onslaught. In Dr. Dermot Lynch's mind, any mistake was unacceptable. That was how he worked his way up the ladder to the deputy director of admissions. Word was, he was on the short list for director when Dr. Frederick Anders retired that summer. A quarter after 10, J.W. Harrison University's Deputy Director of Admissions sent one last email to a student on what he called his problem child list. This student's name was Elena Chavez. I hope this email finds you well. Did you receive my earlier emails regarding your application for admission to the university? I left a voicemail at the phone number listed in your application. Please call me as soon as possible so that we can sort this out. After shutting down his desktop, he grabbed his phone and tapped out another message. This one was to his wife. On my way. He dropped his phone into the pocket of his briefcase and stepped out of his office. He secured the admissions office and made his way through the dimly lit corridors. His footsteps echoed throughout the administrative building. Running home to Bryce? Dermot did not approve of the snide tone in her query. Pausing at the exit, he turned to where Dr. Monica Neely looked over the railing at the top of the stairs. The registrar's office was on the second floor. He glanced around to see if there were any students or colleagues within hearing distance before replying, "As a matter of fact, yes." Her expression softened. "Are you sure you won't reconsider, Dermot?" "It was fun while it lasted, Monica." He yanked open the door. "Now it's time to put on our big kid's pants and go home." "You're going to regret this, Dermot." "I already do." As he walked out, he called to her over his shoulder. "It's late, Monica. Go home to your daughter."
"She's not home. She's DJing at a club in Frederick. It's ladies' night."
"Maybe you should go there. Who knows? You might meet someone." She scoffed. A lone man walking across a deserted campus late at night. Such were the makings of suspense novels. Dermot had seen many movies with such scenes. His wife Bryce was a huge fan of them. He'd become familiar with the tropes of suspense. That evening, Dermot was not in the mood for suspense. It had been a sunny day. The sun glinted off the snow that had fallen the day before. There was a nip in the night air. He admired the snowdrifts that wrapped around the trunks of the trees lining the walkway to the employee parking lot. His mood lifted after a delightful afternoon break that consisted of wine, cheese, and passion. That was going to complicate things. Inevitably, it would. He pushed aside the impending pain and conflict that was guaranteed to arise later. He'd just have to deal with that when it surfaced, as he had so many times before. His luxury SUV was the last vehicle in the lot. He pressed the button on the key fob. The lights on his SUV flashed. The vehicle beeped. He yanked open the door, climbed into the driver's seat, and set his briefcase on the passenger seat. He suppressed a yawn. It had been a long day. In 40 minutes, he would be home. He wondered if Bryce would know about his indiscretion that afternoon. Somehow, she seemed to always know. How did she know? Did she see it in his face? He put the SUV in gear and backed out of the parking space. There was an eerie sound from the rear passenger side tire. Damn! Dermot put the gear in park and climbed out. He rushed around to the back to look at the tire. It was flat. The roar of a car engine cut through the night air. He looked up to see an old sedan turn the corner to speed into the lot. Confused, he watched the car speed toward him. Dermot glanced around. Should he hide behind his SUV? Maybe run back onto the walkway? The car screeched to a halt. The passenger door flew open. Four gunshots filled the night air across the university campus.